What I love about that story is that the frog became an ambassador. And this is what we're looking at this morning, is the role of an ambassador and what that means to us. In fact, the passage is really coming from 2 Corinthians, and I switched that passage, but I didn't get to switch it in the bulletin, and that is something I wasn't able to do. But I'm going to go ahead and read the passage that I'm going to use as the main text this morning. Can you all hear me? Yeah, good, good. So really the passage I want to focus on still has the same emphasis on being an ambassador, but I like the way that Paul brings it out in 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. And this is what he has to say. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who brought Christ, reconciled us to himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, we was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on our behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So today's lesson, sermon, is on ambassadors for Christ. And I think all of us here, for the most part, we love music, don't we? There's something about music that speaks to our soul. It definitely moves our emotions. It influences in so many different ways. And I'm a person who loves music. Now, I have very little knowledge of how to give music because I don't sing well and I don't really know how to play an instrument, but I surely enjoy the music that comes from here. It is a blessing, and it truly stirs me up. And we know that at the very early age, babies love music. One of the things we used to do is we played a lot of music around our children, and they just went right into it. They enjoyed the melody. There's something about that music that sort of helps them in their developmental stage of learning. But also, I love the stories. Many times I hear parents saying, yeah, when we get in the car, the kids can't wait to turn on the radio or the CD player because they love the music from VBS. And there's something about that music from VBS. And a lot of kids are going, yeah, I love it. And there's, you know, again, it really does something to their soul as well as helping them to understand who they are in Christ. Now, I think a lot of you, some of you know that I didn't grow up being a Christian. I wasn't a Christian until my 21st birthday. Before that, I was a non-Christian, but I did love music. I was into music, and I'm from the 70s, and I love rock and roll and R&B. And so that music was very instrumental of identifying me as a person in that era, but I just love the way that, and I know this hard rock, there's something about guitars and drums and all that that kind of speaks to me. Now I'm a Christian. I've given my life to Christ, I'm in a whole different world, and I start listening to some of the Christian music. And I just want you to know that I was pretty disappointed. It was pretty sappy back in the 70s. Again, I'm coming from a different place. I'm not coming from a place where I grew up. Matter of fact, I truly enjoy the hymns. I've learned to greatly appreciate hymns because within the hymns, there's some phenomenal strength, and I love strength in music. But so I was searching for music that kind of represented me, you know, some rock and roll Christian. Well, there were a couple groups back in those days that were rock and roll Christians, Christian rock and roll. And some Christians were struggling with that concept, but there was a group that was called Petra. Does anybody remember the group Petra? Oh, my goodness, old school here. And Petra had some good songs, but Petra sang this song that puzzled me. Again, I'm a new Christian, and I was listening to the words of this music, and I was having a hard time grasping the understanding of these words. And I'm not going to sing it to you. Thank you. Thank you, God. You're probably saying. But I'm going to read the words to you. And the word, it comes from the song, Not of This World. Some of you have ever heard that, Not of This World? So here's what the lyric says. We are pilgrims in a strange land. We are so far from our homeland. With each passing day, it seems clear, this world will never want us here. We're not welcome in this world of wrong. We are foreigners who don't belong. We are strangers. We are aliens. We are not of this world. We are envoys. We must tarry. Now, that puzzled me. I'm a new Christian. I'm sitting there going, this does not seem like a positive song to me. Struggling with this concept of us being envoys of this in this world. So what we have learned as we are being transformed by God, that we are ambassadors, that God intended us to understand that we are ambassadors, that we are representing Him. And this music makes more sense, but I want to go ahead and look at this concept called ambassadors. Now, we have been through a series of sermons, and we have learned that there is a very important theme that we need to embrace, and that is go make disciples. Okay, that is something we've been hearing for the last couple, 3 months, and we know that go was a very important part of our mission, and as we are to go into the world and connect with people. In fact, I was speaking to a longtime Christian friend who said, one of the problems that I have is I have so many Christian friends, I have no non-Christian friends, and God has really compelled me and convicted me to make friends in the non-Christian world, to join up groups, classes, wherever it is, and reach out and just make friends. And it's kind of hard, especially when you're so culture-shaped by Christianity, that stepping out of that culture into a different culture, like a non-Christian, it can be very, very scary. Because non-Christians are scary. Not scary, they're different. They're different. They're different. They're different. Because I know that when I was a non-Christian, I was very, very different. Okay? Very different. So we're looking at a letter from Paul. Paul wrote to a church in Corinth. This is the second letter. And this letter, if you read it, is intensely personal. Paul is trying to affirm who he is, but is also trying to make defend his authority as an apostle. There were some false teachers that were spreading some bad theology, and Paul wrote to this place and saying, hey, I am an apostle, and here are the reasons why I'm an apostle. And he shares that, and he wanted to refute the teachers, those false teachers in Corinth. Now, Paul knows what it's like to be an ambassador. See, before he was a Christian, he was a zealot, a Jewish zealot. He was a Pharisee. He truly believed in his cause for the Jewish people. He loved his Jewish people. He loved the theology, and also he was expecting the Messiah. The Jewish people were looking for that one day where that Messiah will come back and release them from the Roman tyranny that they were living in. So he was so fanatical about it that he got to the point where he was actually chasing Christians. You know, he was persecuting Christians, but something happened. Now, a lot of people think that he had a conversion on that road to Damascus. He didn't have a conversion. I want to throw that out. No, he had this revelation. Suddenly, everything came together to Paul. He realized, oh my goodness, Jesus is the Messiah, the one that I've been preaching, the one we've been seeking, and his whole life was transformed by that revelation. So now, he is sending this letter, and he understands what it means to him be an ambassador, especially a person who grew up in the Jewish faith. Now he's encouraging this church to be an ambassador for Christ. But he has to set the place. He has to set the tone. And let me go ahead and, again, read what he has brought out in 2 Corinthians. So this is what he has to say. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. That is a unique statement, because that's something that we don't normally say. We don't regard no one according to their flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Basically, what he was saying, he said, there was a time that you were not spiritually alive. There was a time that you were not born again into the Spirit God, into the kingdom of God, and you saw Christ from a whole different perspective. You saw him with your flesh. You saw him not spiritually, but in a way that is emotional or physically or academically. He says, now, since you are part of his kingdom, you don't see Jesus this way. You understand that you're no longer a person who lives in this different world, but now you live in a unique world. And this is what he's bringing out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Very important, and understand that there was an old creation, and that old creation, Jesus made it very clear, you have to be born into the kingdom of God. Something has to happen to you spiritually. You have to be spiritually alive, birthed into this new kingdom, the kingdom of God. So now you're in this kingdom, you know, like I was, I'm sitting there going, okay, I know what the old kingdom's like. I'm learning, and God is transforming to really understand what the new kingdom is like. And God is now reminding us our important place. And our place is to be ambassadors. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So again, Paul is speaking to these people. He's reminding them where they were at one time. They were people that were not spiritual. They were people that were not, they were of the flesh. They didn't really understand Jesus Christ. God opens their eyes to Christ, and suddenly they go, oh my goodness, they're born again. They're a new creation. They have a great understanding of who they are. Now they understand that they're a part of a different world, that they're aliens now. And that's why that song makes sense. So, but also, he tells us the mission that we have. See, Jesus Christ to the world is different. A person who is not spiritually alive, a person who doesn't understand this idea of the kingdom of God, they look at Jesus Christ and they view him through their own lens. Okay? And so what they see and hear that Jesus Christ is a great teacher. He's an amazing teacher. This whole world has been transformed by his teaching. Jesus had a tremendous influence on the history of this world. Not only is Jesus a tremendous teacher, but also he was a tremendous leader. He was able to lead many people into a new direction, into a new type of way of living. Not only that, people have heard that Jesus did miracles, that he did amazing miracles. He was able to take people who are blind and bring sight to them. There are people that were struggling with some type of physical ailment, and God was able to bring healing to them. So they have a perspective. They also felt like Jesus, in many ways, was, like I said, a great teacher, a great person who was able to lead, but they don't really understand the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus had one mission, okay? He had one mission, and God gave him this mission. That's why John 3, 16, and 17 is very, very powerful. And we heard it so many times. We've heard this passage before so many times, but it really helps us to understand the mission of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, God loved the world. That always amazes me. God loved the world. You remember, the world is sinful. The world is evil. The world is anti-God. The world is, I want nothing to do with you, God. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to worship you. I want nothing to do with you. I want to live life on my own terms. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Again, profound, sacrificial, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He knew the world was perishing. Sin was pulling his people away from him. And unless something happens, they're going to be eternally lost. But should not perish, but have eternal life. The mission of Jesus Christ, the mission that God had for Jesus, is for him to come into the world and to reconcile his people back to him. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, But in order that the world might be saved through him, the world was already condemned. Sin has condemned us. God loved us so much, he brings Christ into the world, reconciles us back, brings us back into a right relationship. And he says that he has done that for us. We have experienced that. We are in the kingdom of God. And now we have this ministry of reconciliation. If this was so powerful in our life, then what should we do with this amazing dynamic that has changed us and transformed us? He invites us to be a part of this ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, he says, that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He entrusted us. That's powerful. Okay? And then, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. I want you to know that you've given your life to Jesus Christ. You may not like this, but you are an ambassador. We are an ambassador. We have to recognize how powerful that is. Now, we could be a good ambassador, or we can be a bad ambassador, and I'll talk about that here in a second. So, God making his appeal through you, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He's talking to these people. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, speaking to non-Christians in this church, but also reminding them the powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as their ministry to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors. Now, this is what an ambassador is defined. An accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Accredited, meaning a person who has gone through a process of really understanding who they are and have been given credit, sent by a country as its official representation to a foreign country. Now, I know sometimes we forget that we live in a foreign country. It's kind of hard. Again, when I heard that song from Petra, that we are aliens in this world, you know, but we are. We are people of the kingdom of God. Jesus speaks about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God so many times. He says, you're going to be different. You're going to live your life differently. And you're in a world that's going to be foreign. You're in a world that's going to be against you. So I want you to be an official representation of my country, of God's kingdom of God, to people in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is so important because every time we pray that prayer, it reminds us it's about God's kingdom. This is one of the most coveted positions in the USA policies. People want to be ambassadors for the USA. People look for opportunities to be an ambassador, to travel into other countries and be an ambassador for the United States of America. An ambassador for a USA is a person who is an official envoy, especially a high-ranking diplomat, who represents a state and is usually accredited to another sovereign state or to an international organization as the resident representative of their own government or sovereign or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. Every 4 years or every time a new White House staff comes in, that their people are looking for opportunities to be assigned as ambassadors to Germany, to Russia, wherever those places, because they know how powerful that they are as representatives of this country. They want to be an important representative of our country in a way that connects these people groups, these countries together. This is the job of an ambassador, speaking with one voice to others on U.S. policy, ensuring mission staff to do the likewise. Also, another thing they do, cooperating with the U.S. legislative and judicial branches so that U.S. foreign policy goals are advanced, security is maintained, and executive, legislative, and judicial responsibilities are carried out. reviewing communications to and from mission elements. Very important role in our government is that ambassador for the United States of America. But God has called us to be ambassadors, to be representatives of God's kingdom, a very powerful, wonderful position. And last week we talked about how can we love a God who has given us so much? You know, that's what worship does. That's what, when we come together, we find ourselves in awe of God's presence, of His words. We find ourselves just thanking God for the many ways that He has cared for us and provided for us. And we start thinking about so many ways that God loves us and cares for us. And the question always, there's a question. How can I love a God who loves me so dearly? How can I love a God back that way? And we find that last week, God says, I just want you to experience my joy. If you want to love me, experience my joy by keeping my commandments. In another, He wants us to embrace the role as an ambassador. He has chosen you and I to represent Him in this world. What a privileged position. And He gives us the Holy Spirit that enables us and helps us to be able to do that. So this morning's lesson is this: ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I want to share about a person who I thought was an amazing ambassador. An amazing ambassador who came from a different nation, came into a country that was really struggling with this type of country, and she represented this country so well. And it was my mom. My mom grew up and lived in Germany. She grew up living World War II. She actually had Hitler come into her classroom, and she was able to experience his presence and what it means to be with Hitler and his regime. She would tell me stories about this. And now she is married to this amazing man, and now she moves from Germany to America, and you got to realize how difficult it was for her to live in a country that totally misunderstood the Germans in Germany. See, a lot of people didn't realize that Germans hated Hitler. They hated his policy. All we got was the bad stuff. And when the Americans came into her town, Obermassing, after the war, they were celebrating the victory. They were celebrating it in such a great way because they were so glad and so thankful that they were released from this tyranny from Hitler. And she remembers that day. Now she's in the USA, and she has been treated awfully by a lot of people because they think that she was associated with Hitler. But I want you to know that my mom didn't take it that way. My mom really wanted to be an ambassador for Germany. She wanted to let people know that Germany was awesome. That Germany was awesome, and you got to realize that I didn't know she had an accent until I was in college, but she was very German, but she had the spirit about her that she represented Germany in such a beautiful way, full of life, full of just, she really loved people. She wanted people to know that the German people are good people. My dad's relatives and some of his friends treated her terribly. But it didn't stop my mom from being an ambassador for Germany. She lived it out. But also there was a negative side that comes from this. See, when the Americans went back to Germany, Germans saw the USA people in two different ways. Because the Americans that lived on bases should have been ambassadors for the USA. They should have. Representing the USA government. But so, Germans, there are two different types of German people that saw the American people differently. Those who lived by the base and those who lived out throughout Germany. The people that lived throughout Germany, because I grew up there for 8 years,
really are grateful that the USA people delivered them from Hitler. Anytime you get around these people away from the bases, they received you so well. They loved you and they were thankful, and it was amazing how they treated the Americans if you're away from the bases. But the sad thing is that around those bases, the Americans were bad ambassadors. And many of the German people distrusted and disliked the USA civil servicemen. Now, some were good, but they also had a very bad, sour taste of them. Why do I know about this? Because my mom. And she also, at the time, wanted for the USA, the servicemen, to know, understand that you have to be great ambassadors. I say all of that because we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We are either good or bad ambassadors. And when you say that you're a Christian, when we say we're a Christian, people are going to see that. And are we reflecting the kingdom of God, or are we reflecting something that is negative, that pushes people away? This is a quote that I want to share with you from a scholar about being an ambassador. Christians are God's ambassadors in that they have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. As we go through this world, we represent another kingdom. And it is our responsibility to reflect the official position of heaven. We are in this world and not of it. God's ambassadors are to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we must take the message of our King to the ends of the earth, employing men and women everywhere to be reconciled to God. What a beautiful quote, reminding us who we are and what our responsibility are. Again, as I shared earlier, how do we love a God who loves us so dearly, who continues to pour out His grace and His mercy every day in our life? Every day He calls us in His presence. Every day He reminds us of His goodness. And how can we love a person who loves us beyond anything that we can ever imagine? And God just says, just be my ambassadors. Be a representation of my love. Allow yourself to be a representation of me in the kingdom of God. And know that this is a wonderful and beautiful way of loving me. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has made us ambassadors for Him. God has empowered us to go into the world, to go and connect with people. God has asked us and helped us to shine that light. We have such an important part in this world. So important. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? We are ambassadors for Christ. Can you imagine just saying that, what that means? He has called us to be His representatives. Do we truly believe and receive the fact that God has embraced us with His love, reconciled us to Himself? Do we embrace that and appreciate that in a way that we can sit back and say, yes, God, I want to be Your ambassador. I want to represent You. I want to glorify You. That is such a gift to us. It is one of the greatest ways that we can love our Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You again for, for receiving us as Your son and daughter. Again, help us to understand the enormity of that, that You chose us. You chose us to be Your children. And Father, thank You for choosing us and trusting us with the message of reconciliation. Help us to be led by Your Spirit. Help us to understand that as we connect, as we go, that You're going to use us in ways that is just going to love people and care for people and help them to see the kingdom of God. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.